warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Your Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And a couple program notes. There is a general manager of a radio station in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, is flying out here next week to meet and to finalize an agreement to air Bob Enyart Live in Des Moines, Iowa, and covering Ames, Iowa, their college town out there. We're very excited about that, so we'll keep you informed with that. And also, we've been, well, through our station that we're on, the Crawford Broadcasting Station in Denver, 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT, we should be receiving live streaming on the internet of this program. We have many people who listen around the country and around the world to Bob Enyart Live daily, but they listen to an archived version of the show that goes on the web an hour or two after we broadcast. So many of those people will be able to listen live via internet streaming and then even call in with a question or comment relevant to what we're discussing right at the moment. So that'll be exciting. Now, I want to take one step further the devastating story we've been talking about on this program, the four-year-old from Broomfield, Colorado, who was starved to death. He has Dylan Walborn, had severe cerebral palsy, had spasms 3 or 4 times a day that lasted anywhere from seconds to 40 minutes. And he had more bad days than good days, which all led his parents to decide, with the concurrence of Children's Hospital in Denver and the Denver Post and Porter Hospital and a local social worker and Dylan's public school teachers, they decided to starve Dylan to death. It took 24 days. And also they had the agreement and the support of a pastor from Victory Church, Pastor Buddy Conn, C-O-N-N. And on our website, now we have a memorial to Dylan on the internet. It's called dylanwalborn.com, D-Y-L-A-N-W-A-L-B-O-R-N, his name, dylanwalborn.com. And at the bottom of that site, it mentioned 4 sections that are yet to come. And one of those sections is on euthanasia, and that is now up. It's up, so you can check that out. And I'm going to share that section with you right now. And then the last section we'll add to the site is the role of Victory Church, one of Denver's larger evangelical churches, and their role in this tragic story of Dylan Walborn. Now, in the section that we just put up today on euthanasia, this section, it defines euthanasia and the different stages. And it shows where Dylan's death fits in to the euthanasia movement. And the section reminds readers of the euthanizing of 200,000 Germans. And that practice prepared Germany then for the slaughter of millions of Jews. First, they euthanized a couple hundred thousand whites, Aryans, Germans. Then they got to the Jews. And also, we conclude with a few devastating examples of America's culture of death. Now, where does Dylan fit in? Well, euthanasia is the mercy killing, mercy in quotes. It's the mercy killing of a human being, whether active or passive, and ranging from voluntary to involuntary. Now, in Dylan Walborn's story, the Denver Post reporter who wrote this massive 8-page account, Kevin Simpson, he wrote in his own words that the parents of 4,000 Colorado children could face, quote, a choice between prolonging and ending life. Okay, so euthanasia is a decision and then the action to end someone's life. People passively euthanize others, most commonly by withholding food or water, and that's called passive because then they die on their own as compared to active euthanasia, where you poison or suffocate or some other way kill someone. Now, those who advocate euthanasia, they attempt to blur the distinction between food and water, which everyone needs to live, and intense medical treatments such as a mechanical replacement for a failed vital organ, right? So they try to blur the distinction between those two. And if somebody's lungs or heart or kidneys are shutting down, they pretend as though food and water is effectively the same thing. They call that medical treatment. They refer to food and water as medical treatment. And they are simply saying, we're just not continuing to give medical treatment to little Dylan or to others. So they try to blur the distinction between food, which we all need, and then more heroic efforts at medical treatment. Okay, now, it is okay to let a dying person die. It's not okay to kill them. Some Denver Post readers, including those who reject absolutes, and even Christians with little scriptural understanding, they will suppose that a lethal injection would have been even better, a better treatment of Dylan, killing him painlessly and instantly to avoid his weeks of starvation. That's what they'll suppose. Now, on our website at dylanwalborn.com, we have a link to the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and they have this statement on their website on a section about euthanasia. They say some people, mostly philosophers, go even further and say that active euthanasia is morally better because it can be quicker and cleaner, and it may be less painful for the patient. Now, that's from the BBC, a statement in favor of active euthanasia, and that's from philosophers who, after all, you know, they're wiser and more educated generally than the rest of the population. The BBC also reported on an interview with the French Minister of Health, who was happened to be also a founder of Doctors Without Borders. And this French politician, leader, he admitted in this interview to committing active, non-voluntary euthanasia, killing people that he thought were suffering just too much, and he actively killed them. But this BBC report, it was not to criticize him, but it was used to justify Holland's legalization of euthanasia. Hey, if the French Minister of Health could be actively poisoning to death without the patient's request, people, then surely what Holland is doing has got to be okay. See, this is why it's all called a slippery slope. Now, let's see here. Killing people, I'm giving you an idea of what's on our euthanasia section of dylanwalborn.com. Killing people who request starvation or lethal injection is called voluntary euthanasia, even though it's wrong. Killing babies, as now is done legally in Holland, and others who are unable to make decisions, like Dylan, that's called non-voluntary. And killing the weak and the vulnerable against their wishes for their own good, what is that called? That's called involuntary euthanasia. So there's active and passive euthanasia, and then there's voluntary and involuntary and non-voluntary. So where does Dylan fit in all of this? Well, by these popular descriptions, the starvation of Dylan was passive, non-voluntary euthanasia. By God's command, starving Dylan equals intentionally killing an innocent child. Okay, so the media might call it passive, non-voluntary euthanasia. God would call it murder. And that's what we should see it as. Now, I want to remind people what Germany's euthanasia experience was, because as World War II raged, Germany used some of its dwindling resources to produce a major motion picture, a film which premiered in Rome, and it was a movie about a doctor. You know, we forget. We think of Germany, like, what were they, the cavemen in the Dark Ages? They were the pinnacle of Europe's art and civilization and learning. And they made a movie about a doctor who tried everything to cure his suffering wife, but failed. And then out of the purest love and mercy, he finally killed her. Now, the National Socialist, that's what Nazi stands for, right? The Nazis were National Socialist, Darwinian evolutionist. They prioritized survival of the fittest. That became very important to them. And the Nazis became obsessed with the defense of euthanasia as merciful. Now, just because the Nazis were obsessed with defending euthanasia, that does not prove that it's a good thing or a bad thing. But it shows that its defenders, euthanasia's defenders, do not automatically deserve the moral high ground as they are given by the Denver Post and the media generally. Rather, the German case shows that grandiose claims of humanitarian mercy can camouflage hideous deeds. That's what the euthanasia movement certainly can do and has done in Germany, and I submit will always do. The Germans acted secretly at first by their own admission in an effort to hide the euthanasia from the church and from the Americans. The Germans believed that the church, Christians, and Americans would oppose their euthanizing Germans. Now, today, the American church has crossed that line and has begun to actively support and participate through counsel and prayer and agreement in euthanasia. So when Victory Church, through its children's pastor, Buddy Kahn, supported the starving of Dylan, Christians in the pro-life movement grieved. Of course, all Christians should have grieved. Now, after the fall of the Berlin Wall, researchers were able to access millions of pages of previously unavailable documents. And I'm going to quote to you from some minutes from a meeting of Germany's mayors from April 3rd, 1940. Now, they met for a conference in Berlin, and the mayor of Munich presided. And his name was Karl Fehler. Now, we'll take a call here about Dylan, and then I'm going to continue. I'm going to tell you about these minutes of this meeting of these mayors of Germany, and the minutes are devastating. And it shows what normal people, bureaucrats, can so easily be ordered to do. Speaking of euthanizing, killing people by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, patients in hospitals. But first, let's go to the phone. And Eric, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good. You know, I, from a certain point of view, I kind of agree with those philosophers that you were speaking before about how it's actually maybe, well, they say not as bad, I guess, but I should just say it is worse to not only kill, but also to, you know, torture in the way that they've, you know, done that to Terri Schiavo and not to Dylan. I think that these people who allow such things should be responsible not only for the death, but also for the suffering that they inflicted on the child also.
Help me understand you more directly, Eric. Are you, it's wrong to give a child a lethal injection, right?
Because right, absolutely. They already that is already an evil and wicked thing that needs to be dealt with.
And starving a child to death is also wrong.
It's an additional wrong that was done.
Right. So it's all wrong, and you could see the logical progression for those who are not standing on God's principles of do not murder,
right,
do not kill the innocent.
Right.
They can first they begin with passive euthanasia, although it's so much more prolonged and painful and costly for everyone involved, but they don't go straight to active euthanasia because it's more obviously despicable to poison a child or to smother him.
Well, yeah, it's very similar to, like, you look at Saddam Hussein, you know, who allowed his, you know, his men to rape and then, you know, murder women that were, you know, the sympathizers that were against him.
Yeah.
You know, not only are they responsible for those deaths, but they're responsible for those rapes. Mm. You know, so...
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Okay. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 836-9278. So the mayors of Germany met for a conference April 3rd, 1940, in Berlin. And the mayor of Munich, his name was Karl Fehler, and he presided. And today, 65 years later, we still have the minutes of this meeting. Now, Fehler, F-I-E-H-L-E-R, Fehler, however he pronounce it. In that meeting, they informed all the mayors present of a plan to euthanize all the patients in their hospitals. They were going to kill the patients. And the only responsibility, the only part each mayor had to play in all of this was simply to deal with the ashes of those hospital patients. Now, initially, the plan was to kill the mentally and physically handicapped, but over the next 5 years, town cemeteries took delivery of tens of thousands of urns of ashes of those who were euthanized. And you could read about this in Nuremberg documents. For example, document number 3817 describes the number of urns that were delivered from hospital patients and so on, euthanized. That's a testimony from a Dr. Richard Schaefer. But the urns were processed under direction from the mayors, and these urns, they were filled with the cremated remains of sick or disabled, handicapped German citizens, not Jews, but Germans, Aryans, whites, and they were stored away from public view. And to quote from the actual minutes of the meeting, here we go, some quotes. German Conference of Mayors in Berlin, and then I'll skip. Here we go. In the many mental institutions in the Reich, there are an infinite number of incurably ill patients of all kinds who are completely useless to humanity. In fact, they are nothing but a burden. Their care creates endless expense, and there is no possibility that these people will ever become healthy or useful members of human society. They vegetate like animals and are antisocial people unworthy of living. They only take nourishment away from other healthy people and often need 2 to 3 times as much care. Other people must be protected from these people. We must eliminate these beings, even if only to better maintain curable patients in mental hospitals. Now, I'm reading all this not to say that, hey, what happened to Dylan was the same thing. He was starved to death, but there were different motives involved. But I'm reading all this to show you that the people, the hundreds, the thousands of bureaucrats and medical personnel and directors of clinics and hospitals that were involved, they were normal people who went down the slippery slope of killing the innocent to solve problems, and there's no logical place for that to stop, that kind of compromise. When you compromise on do not murder, there's no logical place then to stop. So the minutes of this meeting in Berlin, the German mayors continued, "It is difficult above all because of the church. It is also dangerous because of the Americans, who could enter the war against us for such a reason." Now, remember that these German mayors, they met on April 3rd, 1940. And at Denver Bible Church, if you had attended on, well, it was April 3rd, 2005, we remembered the 65th anniversary of this date. And we vowed to warn others, Christians and non-Christians, about the process that led Germans by the thousands to slaughter the innocent by the millions. Now, you can listen to that sermon, by the way. You can go to dylanwalborn.com and click on a link at this point on the page, and it'll bring you right to that sermon. Or you could go to kgovarchives.com and find that sermon from April 3rd, 2005. And by the way, I delivered that message 3 days after Terri Schiavo was euthanized, after she died. Now, to continue with the minutes of the meeting, concerning the remains of the German patients euthanized, inform family members that the urn will be sent to the nearest cemetery office free of charge for temporary storage. When such urns are sent to the cemetery offices, the cemetery office must keep no files on them. The practical procedure at the cemetery should occur as follows. One fine day, a package will arrive at the seminary, and yada, yada, yada. All right? Now, for documentation on the minutes of this mayor's meeting, you can see Chapter 2 of an extraordinary book, which we're linking to, titled Cleansing the Fatherland, put out by John Hopkins University Press. And the material in those minutes, the originals, are available in Germany in the Plauen City Archives, P-L-A-U-E-N. God expects the body of Christ to lead in teaching the public about his prohibition against killing the innocent, and to provide leadership even to governing authorities who don't know right from wrong. Yet our seminaries have become weak regarding the teaching of Scripture and the basics of morality, regarding stealing, regarding killing the innocent, regarding sexual immorality. Our seminaries have become weak. And those ignorant of history will repeat its failures. And lacking wisdom, average people become cavalier about killing the innocent. Like we heard from that paramedic, Michael, on this radio program last week. The mayor's conference minutes, so they pretty much summed it up for me, an example from history of how normal people will participate in the slaughter of hundreds of thousands of the mentally ill, infirmed, handicapped, and so on. Excuse me. Now, as best we know, the mayors of all the towns in Germany went along with this and with much more. And these mayors, they were not handpicked by the Nazis. Many of them had been mayors before the Nazis took power. They didn't interview candidates for town mayors and ask them, well, would you mind if we killed all the handicapped kids in your town? They didn't do that. Normal people who are not building their lives on a foundation of God's word, normal people, eager to get ahead in their careers, went along with this. And that self-interest made them eager to support their government, regardless of what it asked them to do, euthanizing the sick and the ill. Hey, they're better off anyway. The Germans did not handpick hundreds of cemetery directors and thousands of cemetery workers. They didn't handpick all the asylum directors and the hospital directors. Back then, Germany had a couple hundred asylums for the handicapped and homes for disabled children. Thousands of directors, doctors, nurses knew about the slaughter of their patients. Were they all specially handpicked? Of course not. You know, there was a book from the 1890s on quality of life, and that book convinced Germany's medical community and their intellectual elite, their universities, of the benefits of mercy killing. The thousands of Germans who killed 200,000 of their countrymen, vulnerable Aryans, white Germans, right? Thousands of Germans killed 200,000 other Germans. And they were members in good standing of a humanist medical community which turned its back on God's morality. And this Pastor Buddy Kahn at Victory Church and Senior Pastor Michael Ware, they, I'm not saying their motives were of the devil. I'm saying there was gross ignorance of God's word, his principles. You do not kill the innocent. We have an obligation to feed those who cannot feed themselves. But it's okay to let a dying person die, but food and water is not extreme medical treatment. And they don't realize, they haven't benefited from God's wisdom in Scripture or from history to realize where the euthanasia movement leads. It has its beginnings in the most despicable opposition of God's word, and it has its end in the destruction of the innocent. That's the euthanasia movement. And Dylan Walborn is one example of all that. Out of hundreds of asylum directors, only one resisted. Only one. His name was Heinrich Hermann. And at Denver Bible Church, we honor him. He managed a home for deaf mutes. That's what that home was called, the Home for Deaf Mutes, near Ravensburg. And we still have a letter that Heinrich Hermann wrote just 4 months after that mayor's meeting. And he dated this letter to his boss August 6th, 1940. And in it, Hermann wrote, "I know the aim of this planned registration. I am simply convinced that the authorities are doing wrong by killing certain patients, by exterminating such a patient or a member of the family or the asylum who is simply abnormal. We are acting against God's will. That is the reason I cannot go along with this. I am sorry, but we must obey God more than human beings." Of course, there he was quoting Peter from the book of Acts. "I am prepared to accept the consequences of my disobedience." And you know what? For Heinrich Hermann, that could have been death. That could have been death with the Nazis in control. Hermann was rare, a German hero who resisted the euthanasia program. And Denver Bible Church honors him. We honor him. But most Christians forget. They forget about Heinrich Hermann. They forget about the German euthanasia program. They forget about God's command not to kill the innocent and the obligation he communicates to us in Scripture that we have a duty to feed not everyone, not alcoholics who don't want to work, but we have a duty to feed those who cannot feed themselves. And we're prohibited from killing the innocent, and the euthanasia movement is grounded in hell itself. And Christians, naive of God's principles in the Word of God and history, what history teaches us about the damnable euthanasia movement, Christians go along with the movement and even support it, even in the case of one innocent, vulnerable boy named Dylan Walborn. On tomorrow's show, Lord willing, we'll be here, and I'm going to conclude this section on our website for those who can't get to the internet. But if you can, you can check it out right now. It's dylanwalborn.com, and you'll see the section at the bottom there on euthanasia. All right, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha at 72nd and Oak. And by the way, that's where Denver Bible Church meets. So come on out and join us this Sunday or this Sunday night at Denver Bible Church.